How to Use a Fork: Stories of Mending the Broken Brain by Orlando Swain, read by Justin Avoff. A note on the text. The events in this book are based upon my experiences in clinical practice. Details of both patients and colleagues have been used with permission or altered, and some people about whom I write are presented as composites. The book is intended for the general listener and does not in any way constitute medical advice. Prologue. The hospital where I work sits proudly in the corner of a Georgian square in London, a Victorian carbuncle resplendent in showy red brick. Like many hospitals of its period, it has a chapel, Anglican and reasonably high church, complete with shiny marble floor, altar cloth, and stained glass windows. This is an oasis of quiet tucked away at the centre of a busy hospital like the secret eye of a storm. If you poke your head in, you will often find a nurse sitting quietly, having just finished their shift, or a hospital porter leaning forward on a prayer mat. Sometimes, when nobody is about, I will sneak in for a few minutes to find my calm centre in the middle of a busy day. This occasion was different. I was tucked into a row of chairs, along with 10 or so of my colleagues from the neuro-rehabilitation unit, sitting quietly as we were led through a short service. This is more remarkable than it sounds. The minister leading the prayers was, at that time, one of our inpatients. A lean man in his mid-50s, Thomas was a busy vicar working across two home county parishes. He was married with teenage children, had a quiet intensity in conversation, and a doctorate in history. 7 long months previously, he had collapsed in the middle of a service with a spontaneous bleed into the base of his brain that rendered him unconscious. Thomas spent around 2 months on intensive care and awoke from his coma as the blood gradually cleared away, but in the process had suffered damage to several important structures at the bottom of his brain. Only months before this service, he had needed support for all his bodily functions. A tracheostomy tube in his neck for breathing, another tube in his stomach for feeding, and another in his bladder. Even now he had double vision, almost incomprehensible speech, poor balance, and difficulty moving or feeling his right side. Until recently, he had been unable to sit up in bed, much less stand. After months in rehabilitation spent grinding through the nuts and bolts of basic life skills, Thomas had insisted on making his next goal something that was meaningful to him. So there we were, sat on our chairs, listening while he stood and read aloud from the Book of Common Prayer. Without an ounce of irony, he, of all things, gave thanks. We were transfixed. As a congregation, we were a motley group, all staff from the rehab unit who worked with Thomas. To my right sat our psychiatrist, Himanshu. Then our charge nurse, Dennis, a junior doctor, a couple of other nurses, and some uniformed therapists. Put this team in a room together, and you would usually hear rustling patient lists and conversations flying in all directions. Today, nobody moved as we watched Thomas take charge of the chapel, transformed from the patient in Bay 3, Bed 1, into the master of his realm. As he stood in front of his wheelchair, Thomas held tightly onto the frame before him. One therapist crouched to his left and supported his pelvis from the side, while another held the text out in front of him close enough to read. One eye was covered with a patch. The familiar sacred phrases burst out into the chapel like bullets from a Gatling gun, staccato, disjointed, and difficult to resolve at first, but no less impassioned for their lack of smoothness. Thomas fought his way determinedly through the text, sweat beading on his brow from the effort. As his words engulfed us, everything else seemed to recede, the distant sounds of the hospital, the support needed for him to stand there, even his illness, leaving just one man and his willpower. You do not need religious belief, it turns out, for the hairs on your neck to stand up in a chapel. How was Thomas able to do this?